Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now Ed Koch's final political battle. As you probably heard by now, the three-term mayor and New York City icon died this morning at the age of 88. He will be remembered more fondly by some New Yorkers than by others. On Wednesday, we did a broad retrospective of the Koch mayoralty on the show. You can hear that segment in full on our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. But we conclude today's program by remembering Ed Koch's final political battle, how he managed to throw his weight around, even in his mid-80s, to fight for nonpartisan redistricting in New York State. Here he is on our program in 2011.
When you have an independent commission, as we have here, what you do is you put in the law who cannot sit on the commission. Those would be lobbyists and legislators and a number of people who are very partisan. And then you allow the legislative leaders to pick a commission.
Ed Koch here in 2011, and joining us for this conversation is Liz Benjamin, host of Capital Tonight on the Upstate YNN cable network. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And this is wonky for most people, but very important to New York and the nation. Explain the issue.
Right. Okay. Well, basically redistricting, as you are aware in New York City, because you're going through the process right now, happens every 10 years. After the census is taken to determine proportional representation based on population. And traditionally, it's been a politically controlled process in which the legislature, the state legislature, controls the drawing of the lines for their very own districts, and they tend to draw themselves districts that are beneficial to their own political needs so they can keep themselves in office. And it's been traditional also to have to have sort of an unspoken agreement where the Democrats draw the lines to control their house, which is the Assembly, and the Republicans do the same in the Senate. Also, just as an aside, the legislature is responsible for drawing the lines in Congress, and that every 10 years makes the legislature very interesting to members of Congress, the New York delegation, who doesn't usually pay a terrible amount of attention to Albany.
Indeed, and here's how important this is in the national context, and we were just talking about this on the show recently. In 2010, Republicans won control of most state legislatures and governorships and used partisan districting to draw congressional lines very favorable to them. And the result was that last November, more Americans voted for Democrats for the House of Representatives than voted for Republicans as Obama was reelected. But the Republicans maintained their solid House majority because so many districts had been redrawn along partisan lines to favor them. So this has huge national implications.
Yeah, and it is wonky, as you noted, and people tend to sort of glaze over when you start talking about it. But I would argue, and I think you probably would agree, it is singularly the most important thing that happens every 10 years. It sets the stage for the next decade in politics. So Ed Koch knew that, and good government reformers have been sort of complaining about the process in Albany for years. And he decided as his last hurrah, if you will, politically speaking, that he would create a political action committee called New York Uprising, and that it would focus on reform, largely redistricting reform to take the politics out of redistricting, but also budget reform, which is something that has been a hot topic on and off in Albany. And I think ethics reform, if I'm not mistaken. It was a three-pronged focus, but really redistricting was his big thing. And he created this PAC. It was modestly funded, and he had some other good government types working with him. But he was the face of it. And he went around and asked people to sign a pledge, candidates and elected officials who were running for re-election, that they would support his three-pronged reform approach. And if they refused to do so, they were branded enemies of reform. And if they agreed to do so, they were heroes. And he went around the state. And he said, you know, he held press conferences and said, this person is a hero or this person is an enemy. And he, you know, in his own sort of uniquely Ed Koch way, he used himself as the vehicle. His his anger or his chiding was really the force of this. It didn't have that much money behind it. And right. he got in a little bit of a tiff with the Assembly Speaker, Sheldon Silver, because Sheldon Silver wouldn't sign the pledge. He said he didn't sign pledges and he wouldn't sign this one. And they had a public battle. You know, the most interesting thing about this in the outset was that it was the first time that Ed Koch had come upstate since his disastrous 1982 campaign against Mario Cuomo. It was gubernatorial primary, as you remember. And he said some terrible things about upstate to Playboy magazine. And it tanked him. It killed his election there. And Mario Cuomo won. And again, you know, the sort of history was written there because of upstate New York.
Indeed. And of course, he and the Cuomo family were longtime rivals,
yes.
going back all the way to the 1977 Democratic mayoral primary in New York City, and then that gubernatorial primary in 82. But nevertheless, Ed Koch got Andrew Cuomo in his 2010 election campaign to sign this nonpartisan redistricting pledge, didn't he?
Sort of.
Not really?
I mean, yes, you're right. What the governor did, which was really quite clever, and you know, he's nothing if not a very clever politician, was that he signed a letter that said, "I support these reform proposals that you're putting forward, Mayor," but he didn't sign the actual pledge.
Hmm.
And in the end,
I never realized
that
distinction.
Yeah. Yep. And you know, and the mayor proclaimed himself satisfied with that. And what was interesting is that in the end, as you know, and anybody who's sort of really following the inside baseball on redistricting, the governor reneged on that promise. He said he would never sign anything that was politically driven, and he did. He signed a plan that was incredibly gerrymandered, incredibly politically driven, and the state Senate drew itself lines to maximize its chances of maintaining the majority in GOP hands. As it turns out, they had to go through, because of the presidential election and the Democratic turnout, they had to go through some tortured pretzel-like contortions in order to do what they've done, which is now create themselves a power-sharing coalition with the Independent Democratic Conference. But Ed Koch said he would, you know, go around and point at people and say, liar, liar, pants on fire. I think at the end he sort of, that fizzled out a bit. You know, he did endorse people afterwards who sought higher office who had not signed the pledge.
And here's another clip of Koch on the show trying to get the governor and the legislature to make good on the pledge that they had either signed or said they supported the principles of. This is Koch here on March 21st in 2011.
New York, unlike any other state in the union, so far as I know, has the lowest turnover rate. It's an impossible rate to accept. Less than 3% of the people who run for re-election are defeated. That's not democracy,
mm-hmm.
and it isn't because they're loved and have done a terrific job. It is because in the Senate they work the district so it looks like a salamander, which is where they got the name gerrymander, in order to get all the Republicans in and all the Democrats out. And conversely, they do the same in the Assembly.
Ed Koch, complete with history lesson on where the word gerrymander came from on this program in March of 2 years ago. Is he right? Do you know that New York, unlike any other state in the union, has the lowest turnover rate, that only 3% of the people who run for re-election, and I guess he's talking about the state legislature, are defeated, and that that's the lowest rate in the nation?
I don't know that. I'd have to fact check that one. I know it's. We call it we jokingly, and it's kind of sort of a little bit of a twisted joke, but we call it the incumbency protection plan. You know, once you get in, it's very difficult to get out unless you self-select. You know, you don't usually get defeated.
Isn't there some stat
an incumbent?
Right. Isn't
state
there
legislator?
Isn't there some stat about more?
Yeah, it's about 98%. 98% re-election rate, if I'm not mistaken. But in terms of how we stack up against other states, I'm not sure about that.
And a stat about more members of the legislature leaving because they're criminally indicted than because
they are
defeated for re-election.
That's true.
But as political analysts have described it, and I guess from what you said a minute ago, you agree with this reading of what happened. Governor Cuomo basically betrayed Koch by making a deal with Republican state Senate leader Dean Skelos that Cuomo would allow the Senate to gerrymander in the Republicans' favor yet again if they went along with the bill to legalize gay marriage, which they did in sufficient numbers to pass the bill. Do you see the history that way?
Yeah, to be honest, no one has ever, in my experience, come out and flatly said, we traded one for the other. Because, of course, to say, to make in a kind of agreement like that would be a quid pro quo, and quid pro quos are illegal. You can't say to somebody, give me your vote and I will do X for you. Also, you know, there's a lot of speculation that these Republicans, who subsequently received hundreds of thousands of dollars from donors who supported same-sex marriage, that they never had received contributions from these people before, that they had been assured that they would receive political protection in the form of cash, and also, in some cases, support from the governor himself. It didn't work so terribly well. There were four Republicans who voted yes, and now only one of them is left.
The final article that I could find online with respect to this was about a year after that appearance on the show, which was in March 2011. Then the redistricting happened, and you know they did not go to independent redistricting. It happened in a partisan way anyway. Then a year later, March 29th, 2012, this is from the newspaper City and State by Chris Bragg, and it says, former New York City Mayor Ed Koch's repeated threats to punish state lawmakers if they pass gerrymandered district lines have ended in silence. In a phone interview this morning, Koch said that in the future, his future endorsement decisions, he would not take into account whether a lawmaker signed Koch's New York Uprising pledge to support an independent redistricting commission and then voted anyway for the gerrymandered districts.
Right. I saw that, too. I think it was a moment in time for him. You know, he enjoyed this moment in time in which he was really people were focused on him again. He was making an impact to some degree on state politics. He was traveling the state, as I said. It was unusual for him. He also was, you know, this we're only talking 2 years ago. He died at the age of 88, so he was pretty far up there when he was keeping this schedule. And he really, you know, it was important to him at that moment. And subsequently, I think he started ailing, and he didn't have as much energy as he had. And I don't know that he was, you know, holding grudges and being the firebrand that he had before. But I'm somewhat speculating because I hadn't spoken to him about it.
What do you think the future is for independent redistricting in New York State? I guess technically it doesn't come up for another 10 years anyway until after the next census, right?
Well, yes. I mean, there has been now okay, so part of the agreement in the signing off on the gerrymandered lines was that the governor said to the legislature, and this was definitely part of the deal, I'll sign off on this now, but you have to change the process for the next time. Well, of course, most of these guys and gals, I mean, there are women in the legislature too, probably won't be around in 10 years, so they really don't care all that terribly much. But they gave first passage to a constitutional amendment to change the way redistricting is handled and try and take it out of the hands of the legislature, at least in the initial stages, and put it into the hands of some sort of independent commission that's actually whose members are appointed by legislative leaders. And then if they don't agree on that body's plan, then it gets kicked back to the legislature anyway, which is why good government groups, some of them, not all of them, Citizens Union, I think, is in favor. But basically, there's this amendment that they gave first passage to when they passed the gerrymandered lines, and then just recently they gave second passage to in both houses of the legislature. Now it goes to the public. And interestingly, I think it will be on the ballot in 2014, which is the year that Andrew Cuomo will be seeking reelection. So one might argue that the force of his name recognition and his popularity, assuming that it lasts, and of course he took a hit for the gun control law, but not that badly. I mean, he's still
Cuomo,
up
Cuomo's
there in the high 50s.
Poll numbers are down a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
But you could see that he would, you know, try and link himself to that quote-unquote reform amendment that requires public approval. But there are people who say that that's not reform. And I don't remember, to be honest with you, where Koch stood on that. And again, you know, he wasn't that involved. He definitely didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. But again, he was definitely sick at this point.
Well, you know, I think this was a fitting final battle for Ed Koch, whose political identity was so focused on his political independence. He angered Democrats and liberals, as you know.
Yeah.
He angered Republicans and conservatives, as you know. And to his last days, he was fighting for this good government cause that would diminish the power of both political parties and push the idea of politically independent decision making. So I think it was actually a fitting final battle for Koch, whether you loved him or hated him.
Yeah, it's interesting. You said at the outset that some people will remember him fondly and some will remember him not so fondly. I didn't cover him during his time in City Hall. I met him, I think, if I was remember correctly, when he endorsed Eliot Spitzer in 2006, which was seen as a big deal because, as you know, he had a habit of endorsing Republicans. He did that on, you know, the presidency and I believe also at the state level. And I really, really got along with him quite well, and I was quite fond of him. I'm very sad that he's passed. It's certainly the end of an era.
And the funeral, we are told, will be Monday in Manhattan at Temple Emmanuel, and it will no doubt be attended by political dignitaries of all stripes from both parties. Liz Benjamin, anchor for Capital Tonight on the YNN cable network upstate. Thank you so much for joining us and talking about Ed Koch's final political battle. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.